Good morning, Good Hope. Hey, it's good to be here. Good for you to see me. I wish I could see you, but regardless, we can still minister to each other. So Father, let's just pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for allowing the technology to do what we can't do right now in person. Father, I pray that your blessing would be upon each one tuning in, each one listening, and Father, I pray that the Word of God may be spoken forth, and I pray your Holy Spirit will minister the Word of God to each one. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's good to be here. I am so glad to give blessing and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ and our senior pastor and our associate pastors and all of our deacons. It's wonderful to be a part of the Good Hope family. Well, let's get right into the Word. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." And then he said to the church at Colossae, Colossians 4:6, "Let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone." Wow, we have been through a year, haven't we? It's been something. And we've watched tensions build. We've watched the virus take over. We've just seen so much going on in our country and in our world this last year. And my, what we really need is we need people to act like Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? We need people to act like Jesus. Suppose someone said to you, "When I think of you, I think of Jesus." Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I can't think of a better compliment than that right there. You know, in the deepest part of your heart, wouldn't you like to be more like Jesus? Now, I want you to think about, you know, how Jesus was with people. Do you think Jesus was very cynical? Do you think he was very critical? Do you think he was always putting people down? I don't think so. You know, when I think of Jesus, I see a man who went around encouraging other people, people who normally didn't even get encouragement. About the only people that Jesus really kind of came after were the religious leaders who were leading people astray. And he got very serious with them, but pretty much everybody else, he encouraged. He encouraged. He built them up. Colossians 1:27 says, "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you." This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Think about it. Christ lives in you. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, Christ lives in you. So you can be more like Jesus. Now, that's the thing. If Christ is living in you, are you living like Jesus? Are you being like Jesus? So that's kind of what I want to talk to you today about. I want to talk to you about the fact that Jesus was always going about encouraging people. What is an encourager? First of all, an encourager has a humble heart. That means it's a heart that sees its own shortcomings. An encourager is willing to humble themselves to see their own sin. They don't set themselves up on a pedestal. They don't think that they are better than everyone else. But rather, they realize that we're all on this journey together. And we've all got faults, and we've all got problems, you know, and they don't feel that they're better than anyone else. Rather than measuring yourself by human standards, and we can always find someone who's having it tougher than we are, but rather than doing that, measure yourself by God's standard. You know what that is? It's Jesus. He's a perfect Savior. And if that won't humble you, I don't know what will. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So, an encourager has a humble heart. Secondly, an encourager also has a compassionate heart. When you think of Jesus, you have to think of his compassion, a heart that actively cares about the lives of others. Look closely at the life of Christ to learn his compassionate way of confronting the truth. Consider, for instance, a familiar story. It's the woman who was caught in adultery, a crime in which stoning was the punishment. They put people to death for adultery in those days. And yet Jesus did not condemn her. He looked beyond her fault, and here's what he saw. He saw her need. And then compassionately, he met that need. John 8:3-11, as Jesus was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. Notice they only brought the woman. They didn't bring the man. Oh, he got away somehow. Interesting, huh? And they put her in front of the crowd. They brought her right to the crowd. They wanted to make sure everyone saw, you know, this woman. And they said, "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Can you imagine the embarrassment on her part? "The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say, Jesus?" And they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept on demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And then he stooped down again and he wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one. Then Jesus stood up and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Wow. Compassionate. That's what Jesus was. You see, he looked and he saw this woman's need. We need to stop being so judgmental, and we need to start seeing people's needs. And everyone has needs. You know, everyone's hurting in some way or another. And we can come alongside and we can be that encourager and we can help. Someone who is an encourager also has an accepting heart, a heart that offers a sense of security. Realize that everyone has an innate fear of rejection. Nobody likes to be rejected. And they have a deep yearning for acceptance. I have never met anyone that did not want to be accepted by other people. It's just inbred in us. We want people to accept us. We need to recognize that God accepts us just the way we are. Yeah, even with all your faults, you know. God wants to accept us, and he wants us to understand that. Pray for God to reveal the ways that you communicate rejection and the ways you communicate acceptance to others. Romans 15:7, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory." There's another kind of heart. When I think of Jesus, it's an appreciative heart. A heart that sees God-given worth in everyone. We need to recognize the worth of people. Every single human being is created in the image of God. Even if they have never accepted Christ as their Savior, even if they hate Jesus Christ, even if they are acting like an antichrist, they have still been created in the image of God. Every human being is able to be saved. I had a pastor friend one time when I was young and growing up in the ministry, and he was several years older than me. And he would always refer to his people as believers and soon-to-be believers. He never referred to people as sinners. He always said, he'd be talking about someone and he said, I went over, I saw Mark. You know, now he's a soon-to-be believer. That's what he would call them, a soon-to-be believer. Because he understood the value and the worth of every single person. And he knew that if he looked at them and said, you know, that guy's just a dirty, rotten sinner, he knew that was going to impact the way he reacted to that person. Instead, he would say, he's a soon-to-be believer. He's a not-yet believer. Not yet, but he will be, because God loves him, and I love him.
Yeah.
An appreciative heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, Jesus asked the question, what is the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins? Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. An appreciative heart. A heart that sees God-given worth and value in every single person. When I think of Jesus as an encourager, I also see a praising heart. A heart that praises the positives. Refuse to be that Pharisaical fault finder that Jesus was always running into. The Pharisees even found fault in the faultless Son of God. Matthew 5:20, here's what Jesus said. He said, I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to avoid the temptation to catch people doing something wrong. Instead, comment on what they're doing right. Look at what they're doing right. I knew another man who said, he vowed at the beginning of the year, he said, I am not going to find fault with anyone. I am going to think positive, and I'm only going to approach people in a positive way this entire year. And he was doing really well, really, really, really well. He had to take the city bus somewhere, and he took the city bus, and this man came and sat down next to him, and he was kind of dirty, and he smelled bad. And this other guy is like, all right, this is going to be a test, isn't it, Lord? This is going to be a test. And pretty soon the man, you could tell, he could smell liquor on the man's breath. And pretty soon the man reaches into his old coat and he pulls out a bottle of whiskey. And he says, hey, buddy, you want a drink? And it disgusted the man. He was just, it's like, no, I don't want to drink. But no, he didn't say that. He said, no, thank you, sir. But I certainly do appreciate your kindness in offering. And the rest of the bus ride was a good ride. And when he got done, he thanked God for helping him to come up with the right thing to say. Because, you know, he could have put that man down. He could have complained. He could have told that man, go find another seat. But no, he said, no, God, help me. Help me to be kind. Help me to look for the good. Help me to have a praising heart. Well, just a couple more. An exhorting heart. A heart that doesn't wound with our words. Oh my, have we seen that this last year, haven't we? Oh, we've seen so much. People wounding with their words. Reconsider that saying that says talk is cheap. No, talk is very costly when it tears other people down. Before speaking words of criticism, ask a wise friend to evaluate your content and your tone. Realize that after critical words are spoken, you can never take them back. Once they're out of your mouth, it doesn't matter how many times you apologize or say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. You know what? You can't unring a bell and you can't unhear what people say. And that applies to you too. So an exhorting heart, a heart that just overflows with encouragement. The last one I want to talk about is a discerning heart. When I think of Jesus, I realize he had a very discerning heart, a heart to see the deepest unmet needs of other people. Instead of judging the inappropriate action of another, understand what is the need behind that action. Do you realize people don't do things that they think are unrealistic? People don't say things that they know are untrue. They don't believe things that they know are a lie. Because the moment that we know something is a lie, then we change our thoughts. People really do believe the things that they say. We need to have a discerning heart, that when people are saying things that just really, we know that this just isn't right. What's the need? What is the need that's being unmet in that person's life that's causing them to believe this or to say this? And what could we do to help them find the truth? Stephen Covey used to say, talk about how that we should realize that people who sling cutting words reveal that they have at least one unmet inner need, the need for security or for love or for variety or for significance. As Covey puts it, he said, everyone has a need to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. Everyone has those needs. And realize that oftentimes when people are speaking and saying things, they're saying them because they have that unmet need. You know, Jesus was able to know what a person's need was, because Jesus could see inside that person. He knew their mind. He knew their thoughts. He knew their life. Well, you and I will never be Jesus. We'll never be that good. But remember, we have Christ living within us if we've accepted him as our Savior and Lord. Christ is living within us. We can have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. Whenever you get a chance to criticize, ask God to help you to remember to encourage instead. Look for a need that can be met. Philippians 4:19, and I'll close with this. And this same God who takes care of me, Paul writes, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Then be an encourager. Encourage someone. Who can you encourage even today, before this day is over? And you know what? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've never asked him to forgive you of your sins and repented of those sins and said, I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. You gave your life so that I could have eternal life. If you've never done that, then I would encourage you to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I would encourage you to repent of your sins, confess them, and say, I'm done with that. God, help me not to commit those sins again, and help me every day to walk with you. And develop that encouraging heart that Jesus shows us and models for us. Accept Christ. And then once you do, walk like Christ would walk, and be an encourager. God bless you.